I want to invite everybody to take one of the Connect cards from the seat back in front of you. Would love to know that you are here today, especially if you're a guest with us for the first time or maybe just new in the mix lately. And for all of us, the opportunity on the other side to fill out prayers and praises. We would love to be praying with you. We're a praying church. Every week, our prayer team and staff pray when you submit these and share them. So we would love to be praying with you. Family and friends, so vital in our lives, right? Family and friends, close friends, dear family, means so much. Now, last weekend, Nancy and I spent time with our college-age son, Josiah, and his girlfriend, Alana. They've been dating for a little over a year now, and it's really, really neat to spend some time with them. They're at MVNU out in Mount Vernon, Ohio. We had a phenomenal time with them. We ate brunch. We traveled from Mount Vernon over to the Columbus area and explored German Village in Columbus. We drank a lot of coffee. That's probably shocking to you to hear that. We explored a huge bookstore, and we ate pizza, and we had burgers at a couple of really great restaurants. All along the way, we had deep conversations together and lots of laughter. It was truly sweet. It's a very meaningful time. Dear friends and close family mean so much. Jay Shetty said, there are friends, there's family, and then there are friends that become family. And most of us can probably relate to that happening with a handful of people in our lives. Linda Grayson said, there's nothing better than a friend unless it is a friend with chocolate. Truth. C.S. Lewis famously said, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. Often friendship is born right there. We traverse the highs and lows of life like we were singing about a few moments ago. We walk the valleys and we scale mountain peaks, trusting the Lord, blessed by all of these connections with friends and family. When you scan your memories, it's those relationships that stand out and make a real difference, especially if you add travel adventures to the mix with friends and family, right? Do some car trips, plane and train rides. Ever sing together on such trips? Anybody? Okay, in our family, like, that's happened a few different times where we get going on some songs together. For those ancient Hebrew people ascending to Zion, friends and family were all around them on their journey. Friends and family were all around them on the journey, trekking upward toward Jerusalem for time of festival. Friends and family, all together. And so they would join in singing psalms, the very psalms we're exploring in this series. We closed our message on Ascent 125, talking about how important, how empowering it is to travel together as we climb higher, following Christ Jesus. We are made for belonging. You are wired. I am wired for belonging in community with others and climbing higher together for belonging. Close friends and dear family are vital as we ascend. We're going to be ambitious today together, and we're going to explore three ascent psalms. Yes, three. So buckle up. As we do, we are going to discover how to journey with greater joy, how to journey with greater joy with family and friends, and we're going to gain a set of trekking poles as we climb together. Or maybe you haven't gone over to this yet, and you know about a walking stick and what that's like. We're going to gain some tools, some trekking poles, some walking sticks that will help us joyfully ascend with family and friends together. Here they are. Just gonna give them to you up front so you don't miss them. Hold hope tight amidst your tears. Follow the Lord with holy fear. Build with intentional trust. And work from deeper rest. Hold hope tight amidst your tears. Follow the Lord with holy fear. Build with intentional trust. Work from deeper rest. Psalm 126 through 128 is our focus today, and it enwraps all of this business of family and friends. We're going to deeply explore Ascent 127, but we're going to start by considering 126, and then we'll jump to 128 and then come back into the heart of it with 127. 126, Ascent Song, expresses thanksgiving, and if you have your own copy of God's Word or you want one from the seat back in front of you, I invite you to open there. Or if you've got a digital device, you got Bible app there, I invite you to open so you can follow along. 126 expresses thanksgiving, joyful celebration upon the return of people who had been exiled in captivity. It was the return of people who had been exiled in captivity. Listen to this amazing song. Like the others, it starts by simply saying, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. Verse 1, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Verse 4, restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Here's joyful celebration for friends who arrived back home. At some point, they'd been taken captive. Perhaps during one of Israel's many wars, or during one of the doom and gloom invasions of Assyria or Babylon. There's speculation, because these lyrics do not give us the precise situation. What we totally feel is the all-out celebration. Friends and family have been away in a dangerous place. Many tears have flowed. Who knew if they would really come back safely to home? And now, friends, family, fellow Israelites have returned, and these pilgrims traveling up to Jerusalem sing about it. Some of those who returned are, in fact, right there, right here, trekking with them in the midst. Right there. This psalm holds a special place, a very special place in my own historical memory bank. It was quoted by President Reagan in 1981 when he addressed the United States as a nation upon the safe release of the American hostages in Iran. And some of you may remember that. I was just a middle schooler, and I was just starting to learn and get clued into national and international news. And I remember listening to him share, and honestly, set political divisions aside, people did that in that moment and just clued into what he said. And I remember specifically him reading Psalm 126. It had been that kind of situation where this, the American hostages home. Wow, what a relief. What joy arising. What joy coming, even in the midst of what have been horrific tears. I remember that moment of just watching the president share and just being like, wow, because it enraptured all of us with this outlook of, friends and family who've come back home. Amazing that they're back home. And that was in the face of having imagined the worst and great tears across the months, the previous months. And now there was so much joy. Now notice here, the picturesque comparison is drawn. Like streams that finally run in a parched, dry desert. Or the shouts of joy for those harvesting a bumper crop after super hard work of planting and cultivating. And now, all out joy. Here's amazing celebration of the Lord's deliverance for friends and family who had been captives. And now they're home. And in fact, they're not just home. That many of them are right there with the travelers who are on their way up to Zion for the festival. Hold on to hope amidst your tears. Hold on to hope amidst your tears. How do we do that? Well, here's a fantastic climbing exercise I want to give you to consider. Here's a set of questions, and this can provide for you today and in the coming week some exercises. To dare to slow down and ask yourself, what are my tears truly about? What are my tears truly about? How will I hold on to hope? How will I actually hold on to hope? And what are my great things the Lord has done lately? That's a spotlight here from the psalmist. You know, amidst our deep, deep valleys of life and the tears flowing and the heartache, the seasons of heartache, we can forget and we can lose sight of the fact that God really is always doing something great. If you can't see it right now in your own life, you can see it in some friends around you or some family members. You're able to say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I give him great thanks. Oh, we celebrate what he's up to. And how am I actually cultivating joy and praise and thanks these days? How am I actually cultivating joy and praise and thanks these days? Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Watch this. Maybe it'll give you some ideas. Take a look. Joy is a choice. And for many of us, it has to involve an intentionality that says, I will watch for those moments. I will deliberately watch for those moments when I can step into joy, when I can actually step into joy. Even though I'm trekking through a valley of heartache, even though I'm up against the odds, I will choose joy. Hold hope tight amidst your tears. And follow the Lord with holy fear. Follow the Lord with holy fear. Ascent 128 celebrates family, the blessed condition for family when we truly fear the Lord, committed and following his ways. Listen to 128. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. What an amazing description right here. Beautifully picturesque. Once again, right here in the Ascent songs, shalom is in view. Peace in family life. It's places like this that clue us in to the importance of families from God's viewpoint. Families. The old commercial said, maybe you remember it if you're old enough, cotton, the fabric of our lives. How many of you remember that? Cotton, the fabric of our lives. And you usually have this like, yeah, you're all showing your age, including me. It have this like extra nostalgic scenery behind it and then the tune. And cotton, the fabric of our lives. The truth is, from earliest scenes in Genesis and woven all throughout God's grand story in the Bible, it's family, the fabric of our lives. Families mean so much to God. Ascent 128 is highlighting holy fear. Holy fear. Now, this is different than a scaredy cat fear or quaking trepidation. This is, yes, a holy reverence, a sincere awe leading to holy obedience. A sincere awe leading to holy obedience. Healthy, holy fear means following the Lord's ways, making everyday choices based on God's words, his heart. It's probably a very big part of why St. Paul, encouraging a wise track in Ephesians 5, verse 19, included these lines. He said, Ephesians 5, 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Now see Psalm 127's lyrics sung by those ascending travelers. And we pick up a couple more trekking poles. Let's climb higher in Ascent 127. It starts like this: a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of Solomon. So the opening clause sounds like predictable, like we've learned to hear from these psalms of ascent, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, but a psalm of Solomon. Hold right there. So 122 and 124 were attributed to David, thought to be the incredible, powerful, mighty, trailblazing king of Israel. But this one is attributed to his son Solomon, who followed David as king and thought to be the wisest of the wise. Also, Solomon was the temple's design builder. The house of the Lord, the very place they're headed, their destination, upward to Zion and to the house of the Lord. Solomon, amazing thought leader who originated so many of the family-oriented Proverbs. Brian led us earlier in hearing that proverb clip attributed to Solomon. How extra amazing. Oh, extra amazing that Psalm 127 is attributed to Solomon. Look where he goes with it. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. We know the natural means, the human labor in building and guarding. The human means, we're familiar with those. We do them every day, absolutely. 127 spotlights the unseen, divine, supernatural dynamic. Our everyday endeavor requires intentional trust in the Lord. This very deliberate, intentional trekking pole, deliberate, intentional trust in the Lord in your everyday building. And your everyday guarding, whatever it is you're building, whatever it is you're guarding in the midst of all of it. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, most often we try to do daily jobs, if we're honest together, we try to do too much of life all on our own. I do it, you do it, all on our own. Solomon calls us here to trust the ultimate builder and guardian. The Lord himself. That looks like prayerfully committing your everyday endeavors, including work and family and friendships, to the Lord. To joyously talk to him. To talk to him every day about your challenges and your joys. It means asking him for help in both the little things and the big things. Make sure you consult the all-wise sacred scriptures for best ever take us higher guidance. And now verse 2. It is useless, Solomon says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Oh boy. Does this ever hit home for so many of us? We get sucked into being way too busy and working way too much. Hard work, solid work ethic, all super good in God's economy, yes. But we can end up burning the candle at both ends, and notice Solomon references that. We burn it at both ends in such a way that it becomes counterproductive, useless even, meaningless. And what happens beyond our daily careers and our paycheck labors? What happens beyond all that? Dishes to wash? Anybody here have dishes at your house that need washed? Yeah. If you're on the younger edge with kids or grandparents, you decide, there are swing sets to build and kids' games to attend and lawns to mow and bills to pay and maybe, just maybe, snow to shovel coming up. Maybe, we'll see. What happens as a result? We are drained. And so we get cranky and mean as a bear awakened from hibernation, and we miss the deeper joy and the all-out satisfaction that God can give us. As Solomon highlights, God gives rest to his loved ones. Rest to his loved ones. Well, what's that mean? Well, we learn to more deeply rest in God's provision and his powerful restoration to us. We intentionally slow down, throttle back, intentionally to let the Lord give us rejuvenation and true joy with family and friends. And this links powerfully with Jesus' words in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." If you're feeling exhausted in all the work and the hurry and the harried stress, the heavy burden of family, then come to Jesus. Trust him. Get in the yoke with him. It's actually the best way to trek, the best way to climb. And yoke with Jesus, his humble, gentle ways. Note his promise to train your heart to give you a lighter burden, an easier load. Rest for your soul. Now remember our trekking poles and walking sticks. Look at these again. Hold hope tight amidst your tears. Follow the Lord with holy fear. Build with that intentional trust. And now work from a deeper rest. So wise, Solomon supplies several wrap-up insights. And these are rich. Don't check out yet, because these are rich insights. We need these. Your family, your kids, your grandkids, they need your leadership in these ways. Watch this for the family journey. Solomon says, remember, your kids are God's sweet gift. Sweet gift. Some of you are like, you don't know my kids. Sweet? Okay. Not every moment, but Ascent 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him we too easily slide into. I did this over the years. At points, if I'm not careful, even with grown-up kids, I can do this. We slide into viewing kids and family overall as duty and drudgery and somehow secondary or tertiary work. We get stuck in the mundane and miss the marvelous moments. How much do you rejoice in playing and laughing with your kids and grandkids? The old adage says, the family that prays together stays together. You've heard it, right? The family that prays together stays together, and that's good, that's true. Take it to the bank, but equally true, take this to the bank, the family that plays together stays together. Here's another helpful insight. Enjoy purposeful parenting. Enjoy purposeful parenting. Verses 4 and 5, children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Amidst the busy rush of life, we can just buzz along and forget the immense potential, the all-out purpose God has in mind for our children and grandchildren. Ancient warriors would very intentionally sharpen. Now, here's what's at the heart of this imagery. They would very intentionally sharpen, craft their arrows, and take great delight in a quiver full of them. And in a certain sense, it's still true today. Many of you enjoy a certain kind of arrow if you're a hunter, and other instruments procured at none other than Cabela's, right? God gives us the privilege, the immense privilege and responsibility of deliberately sharpening our kids and grandkids to know and love Jesus, to know and love the Word of God, to grow with sharpened values, holy passions, and good life direction. But this means you get very purposeful with your time and energy to craft sharp arrows. It's what Solomon's calling us to. Don't skip godly basics. Don't skip Christ-honoring basics. Listen, friends, educational achievement for your kids and grandkids, awesome. Social skills, absolutely, pursue them. Athletic developments, yeah, a lot of joy there. But all of this is not enough. Don't skip the godly basics. Scientists at NASA developed a gun-like device a number of years back. True story. Years back, they developed a gun built specifically to launch dead chickens at the windshields of airliners, military jets, and the space shuttle, all traveling at maximum velocity. The idea was to simulate the frequent collisions with airborne fowl to test the strength of the windshields. Makes sense, right? British engineers heard about this gun, and they were eager to test it on their own new high-speed trains. Arrangements were made, but when the gun was fired for the Brits, the engineers stood there shocked as the chicken hurtled out the barrel, crashed into the supposed shatterproof shield, smashed it to smithereens, crashed through the control console, snapped the engineer's back headrest thing in the empty seat, and embedded itself in the back wall of the cabin. Horrified, the Brits sent NASA an urgent message about the disastrous results of the experiment, along with details about their windshield's design, and they begged the U.S. engineers for suggestions, and NASA responded with just one sentence, three basic words, actually: thaw the chicken. Thaw the chicken. Don't skip the basics. Don't skip the Jesus-honoring basics when it comes to intentionally sharpening your kids and grandkids. Sharpening what and how? Sharpening in what it means to actually know and trust Jesus personally as Lord and Savior. Don't just assume that somehow your kids by osmosis, they'll catch my faith. Well, what you do every day, how you model it, says a lot. But to actually talk with them, engage with them very, very intentionally about their faith and what it means to trust Jesus is a superb, essential, a basic, it's a fall the chicken kind of thing. They need a faith of their own. Sharpening involves teaching them how to read and learn the Bible, how to read and learn the Bible. Don't just assume because you've got one sitting around somewhere at home or because we've all got them on our phones now. Don't just assume they know how to do that, how to engage with God's holy word, lead in that. How much are you reading and leading through being in God's word as a family and talking about it? This is stall the chicken kind of stuff. What it means to make holy, pure, wholesome choices, how to be sexually pure, how to be people of integrity, how to tell the truth and not lie. Basics. Jesus-honoring basics that are deep and wide in influence for your family, for your kids, and for your grandkids. What it looks like to be Jesus-like. To be holy and true and holy and very, very kind. Full of compassion. People of justice, yes. And people full of mercy. These are Jesus-honoring, godly basics. With all the chicken kinds of stuff. Sharpen your God-given arrows. We're climbing higher and ascending because we trust. We're climbing higher and we're ascending because we engage with these trekking poles. Let's stand for prayer and some final singing together. I'm going to invite you to stand. The team's going to come back and lead us. Lord, thank you for the wisdom of your word. Thank you for these wise old words from Solomon. And the overflow by your Spirit, directly from your heart, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you. More than ever today, we need such intentionality. So, Lord, please, we call out to you to help us build with greater wisdom, to see life through your lenses, Jesus. And to truly choose your wise joy in our family and our friendships. We thank you for the blessing of family. We thank you so much that in these moments, in all that is hurling and whirling in our all too wicked world right now, thank you, Jesus, that you bring to our souls all that we need. So speak into our souls even more. Speak the depth of your peace, your hope. Make it well with our souls, Jesus. Even in the face of many tears, and many of us right now we know many tears. I pray, Lord God, that you will give us clarity and make it well with our souls. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing out together.